Hey, it's Zach here, and super quick before we dive into the show. If you haven't already, I want to make sure that you have subscribed to my free weekly Case of the Mondays newsletter, because it is where I share my best advice, strategies, and mindsets to help you design a creative career that you absolutely love showing up for every Monday morning. When you sign up, I'll even send you a bonus 5-day email course to help you clarify and prioritize the next small steps in your unique path to success. To sign up, just visit optimizeyourself.me/newsletter. All right, on to today's episode. My name is Zach Arnold, and I'm a former Hollywood film and television editor turned career strategist and the creator of Optimize Yourself, where I help artists, creatives, and storytellers just like you design the more balanced, more sustainable, and more fulfilling creative career that you deserve. In a nutshell, I'm Tim Ferriss meets Ted Lasso, minus the mustache, because I am obsessed with both learning everything I can about optimizing human potential while also inspiring you to realize yours. If you are ready to step outside your comfort zone, let's dive right in and unlock the optimized version of you. Hello, and welcome to the Optimize Yourself podcast, where I share honest and candid conversations with best-selling authors, world-class athletes, Hollywood legends, elite experts in a variety of fields, as well as everyday people that are achieving extraordinary things. It means the world to me that with all the podcast choices out there, you have chosen to invest your valuable time, energy, and attention with me. Now, before we get started, don't forget to visit optimizeyourself.me/podcast so you can subscribe, leave a review, and so you can also download your unique customized podcast playlist, where I'm going to send you the 5 best expert interviews from our archives to help you achieve your specific goals. So on that note, without further ado, let's get right to today's guest. Hello, and welcome to Hot Seat Friday, where I give you an inside glimpse into the world of the Optimizer community. Every Tuesday and Thursday morning, I host office hours live via Zoom, where I conduct a series of one-on-one coaching sessions and I help a student workshop whatever challenge they're facing next. We cover topics such as networking and outreach, workshopping resumes and websites, preparing for job interviews, designing career paths, and a multitude of challenges beyond just career growth, including time management and productivity, building and optimizing creative workflows, mindset, burnout, and so much more. These bite-sized 25-minute sessions are jam-packed with practical and actionable strategies that you too can use right away to design the more rewarding, the more fulfilling, and the more sustainable creative career that you deserve. If after listening, you're interested in joining the Optimizer community and having the opportunity to sit on the hot seat yourself, and I promise it's not as scary as it sounds, visit optimizeyourself.me/optimizer to learn more. Again, that's optimizeyourself.me/optimizer. Our first session is with Mitch, and Mitch is probably, if I were to give away awards to our optimizers, there's no question that Mitch would receive both the Perfect Attendance Award and maybe even the Lurkers Award, because he's always there in the background. He's always providing good insights in the chat role, and every once in a while pops up in Q&A, but very, very, very rarely do I actually see Mitch's name on the hot seat role. And I wanted to share very quickly what Mitch had to say before we dive in. He said that I've got a win to share that's worthy of a hot seat. And this recent development has me in need of help and advice on my short-term strategy for job seeking. And Zach is always the best person to start with for things like this. So Mitch, number one, I appreciate the kind words. And number two, very excited to officially see you on the hot seat this morning.
Thank you. Yeah, I used to be a frequent hot seat attender.
You were for a while. Now you're a seat warmer.
I just don't have much to workshop these days, but I'm always here to keep my head in the game. And even, when I was working and as long as I was working from home, it was easy to be able to tune in. So even in the background, I love office hours. It's just keeps me grounded. Yeah.
Well, that's mostly why we're here right now. Not a whole lot of people are jonesing to apply for 7 different jobs. And if I go back to the hot seats a couple of years ago, half of the hot seats were, I've got multiple job opportunities. Help me pick the one that's the best for me. I haven't done a lot of those lately. Just helping people stay grounded, stay focused. And know that this too shall pass. That's really what I see the main purpose of this, more than just the strategy or the tactics. But it sounds like we're going to be talking strategy today. So share the win, first of all.
Yeah, well, this is a good segue, I guess, into or from the text message that you just read. And this is as much a mental win for me, I would say, as a literal win. But I, in very short order, starting last week, it appears that I've landed a independent, but most likely union comedy feature that doesn't start immediately, though. It's most likely starting in November at the earliest, maybe even start of next year. So it doesn't solve the immediate problems that I have, mm-hmm. but it was a moment. And when it all happened too, I've been saying the vision that came into my head immediately, and if you're listening to this, you're not going to be able to see it, but my vision was Zach doing this to me.
So describe that look in words.
What did I tell you? Told you so. Hello?
Well, I would never say what did I tell you or I told you so. I would never put it in those terms.
Okay.
You've been playing a very strategic, very patient game of chess. Sometimes it takes longer than others, and especially in this climate, it's going to take way longer. But given the fact that you've landed what sounds like pretty close to your dream opportunity right now in literally the worst job market we've seen in our lifetimes, and that's not hyperbole, that's statistically proven now. This is the worst job market in Hollywood in our lifetimes, and you've landed your dream opportunity. So before we get into all of the problems that it's created, which I can't wait to solve, I just want to enjoy the win for a second and get a little bit more detail. So you said it's an independent comedy feature, but it's union. And I'm assuming this is as an editor or is this as an assistant editor?
Editor.
So not only is it the job and not only is it the perfect opportunity, it's actually the perfect role for you, which is what you've been killing yourself to get for like 2-3 years now.
Yeah, that's like about, well, yeah, I landed one right out of Advance Yourself. That was 2 years ago now. And then it went dry after that. And I had to get an assistant job, and then everything went, completely dead. And my strategy for months now, since the strikes ended, has been that I need to find an assistant job because I need union work. And I'm not going to be able to find a union job as an editor because everybody's lowered their standards and these guys who are on top of me are coming down, and I'm not going to be able to compete with them. So I just need to pack my bags and go back to what I was doing before. And that hasn't solved anything either, because there's no jobs out there. But that's what I've been focusing on: warm outreach and just maintaining contact with my network. And that's gotten difficult as well, as we all know, after the strikes ended, because when you contact people now, the instant presumption is, why are you contacting me now? Oh, because you need work. Well, I need work. We all need work. So that's always lurking in the back of your head. And I've been good about that, making sure when you do contact people that it's done in the right context, so you aren't accused of something like that. But nevertheless, it's tough. And it's always, it's in the back of your head all the time too, that's happening. So all of that didn't get me too far anyway, as far as finding assistant work. I came close a couple of times. I've got a couple of people who are really looking out for me. But it was coming to office hours most of the time and just listening to other people that are going for it. And that was kind of my what the f*** moment happened last week, where it was just like, you've got time. You've got time to do this. Just get back to it and just like see what happens. And execution is still not my specialty. And so I can't say that I've been doing this for, extended periods of time. I literally wrote one email. I was on production listings in IMDb, and I found the one. I mean, I'm sure there's more than one, but the first listing that I found that met the criteria that I was looking for, and it all looked interesting. I was like, this is something that you should be an attractive candidate for. It's like, if they don't have an editor, you would be somebody that they would be happy to hear from. Like, pound that into my head. And so I sent an email to the producer, and he got back to me immediately. This was on Thursday. Like within 20 minutes, he responded to my email and said that he was going to check out my website and like whatever else. And thanks for getting in touch. And this was like around 6 o'clock on Thursday. By noon on Friday, he was like, let's talk. And that was yesterday afternoon. We talked for an hour. Seems like a great guy. Hit it off. He's like said it more than once that may we pencil you in. This is what he was saying. I guess, I mean, there's lots of variables. There's a long time before it starts, but He said, you know, he talked about it with the director. He's anxious to meet me, looking forward to it, and that I'm their guy. And it was as simple as that. It was like really like a little hard to believe sometimes, or just hard to pound it into my head that I have the capacity. I do have the resume to back up the things that that I know that I am realistically a good candidate for. And so that was definitely the lesson learned here, and that, I need to be doing more of this and not selling myself short. It was just a very good feeling after a year off. I've been officially unemployed for exactly 1 year now after last Friday. So it was a good anniversary present, I suppose. It was like more of, it's like a relief to have the job, but it's also, it was just a confidence boost, and just felt good to have all of these things in place. We've worked on my resume. We've worked on my website. We've worked on outreach and how to play the game right. And just to execute it like that in just such a quick moment that just like the whole thing just turned like the moment that I just decided, you know, what the fuck, and went and did something about it, and, you know, spent a couple of hours on Thursday, and it produced results instantaneously. So all of that was just pretty amazing.
Wow. You sure got lucky, Mitch.
No, I don't think so.
Don't think so. I don't think so either. Obviously, I'm saying that superfluously, because I do not believe that that is even remotely the case. First of all, this is amazing. Really, really, really well done. And what I love that you just said is that, it was so simple, right? I sent one email to one person with one resume, with one website, and 20 minutes later, I got a response. And then by the next day, I'm penciled in, right? That's the game of chess, not the game of checkers. Think about how long it took you to have that interaction over the, you know, 24, 48, 72 hours, whatever it was, to just snap your fingers and make a completely career-changing move. It took you how long to get all of the chess pieces on the board in the right place to make it look that simple?
I mean, honestly, 25 years.
Exactly. But the difference
more specifically
was,
about 2.5 years.
But the difference was that, first of all, my guess is you didn't send an email saying, hi, my name is Mitch. I'm an awesome editor and assistant editor. Here's a link to my website attached as my resume. If you're looking for an editor, please let me know. I'm guessing you probably didn't take that approach.
Well, I can share the email if you'd like to see it.
I would like to see it. How about everybody else? Everybody want to see this magic email that got Mitch lucky? So because we can't see it right now, and for those that'll be listening and not watching, do you mind reading it? I know we're not workshopping an outreach message, but I think everybody here would love to hear the message that started all this.
You got it. The subject of the email was the title of the movie and a dash comedy editor.
Mm-hmm.
And the email reads, hi, producer. Congrats to you on title of your movie, moving into pre-production. Just wanted to quickly inquire if you've hired an editor. My experience definitely skews to comedies, with credits on both independent and studio productions. As we come out of this interesting work shortage, I'm super focused on finding a comedy where I can provide maximum value. Below is the link to my website, where you'll find work samples and a rather unconventional resume. Please feel free to check it out and share with the director if you think we'd be a good match. And it said, and the email was the name of the director, not didn't say the director. I'm hiding for the moment. Best of luck, Mitch Rosen, phone number and website.
All right. That seems really simple.
Simple.
Now, here's what's going to be really interesting. Anybody that's been either through the Build Your Dream Network class, or that's done some of the self-guided materials, or that's learned the VSA formula, is going to look at this and say, well, Mitch didn't do any of the things that Zach talks about, right? So what the hell? Like this is all BS, right? But this is what I talk about in the advanced networking class, where the formula is the same, but everything about how you use it is different. It all depends on context. So most of the outreach that we talk about, most of the relationship building that we talk about, and by the way, this is not a tangent. This is going to be directly related to your next question, which is, what do I now do to re-strategize? Right. So we're going to go into more advanced networking psychology and networking strategy, because that's going to help you fill the gap between now and November or early next year when this project starts. Mm-hmm. But I want to break
that. I need to, because I'm running out of hours again. I got the 6 months of paid Cobra, so I'm incredibly thankful for that. But now the clock's ticking for September is my date that I need 400 hours or I'm in the cold.
Exactly. So what I want to do is I want to break down the psychology of this, because there's a lot more going on here behind the scenes than people might imagine. First of all, if we look at the subject line, and the subject line was name of film, what did you say?
Comedy editor.
Comedy editor. So name of film dash comedy editor. Anybody that's been through what we've learned with the VSA formula is going to say, well, that doesn't provide any value. That's not sharing impact. That's not sharing inspiration, right? We need to back up for a second. We need to understand the psychology of this interaction, right? So when we're talking about these three levels of your dream network, when you're building your network, you've got your peers, you've got your experts, and you've got your gatekeepers. The majority of what we workshop in this community, and not all of it, but most likely in the intro networking class or for people on the hot seats, it's usually the expert approach. It's me reaching out somebody because I'm seeking guidance, I'm seeking mentorship, I want to build a relationship, I want to learn more about their journey, learn a skill, whatever it might be. So in that context, they're the expert. So Mitch, if you're reaching out to an expert, who's the hero of that story?
I am.
You are, exactly. And it should unapologetically be you. This message is about me. I'm seeking guidance. I've got some challenges. This is where I want to go next. This is what's stopping me. Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope, right? People like to feel useful, especially now. The expert approach works like gangbusters because people feel useless. They're sitting at home saying, what value do I have to the world? Ding! Somebody pops up in their inbox and now they can help them along their journey. That makes people feel useful. It gives them hope. That's why right now the expert approach, all the people that I have in the networking class, self-guided students, even those that just use the free email guide, I get all these emails that say, I can't believe how easy it's been to get Zoom calls and lunch meetings because people want to feel useful if you do this right.
That's right.
So I look at your message and your subject line and I would say, this doesn't provide any value. Mitch, why do you think your subject line provided value and got opened?
Because I'm sending it to a gatekeeper and they're the hero and I'm the one who's providing the value.
Bingo. You have a producer that's in pre-production on a film, literally losing sleep thinking, who the hell is going to cut all of this raw footage once we shoot this? And all of a sudden in their inbox, name of their film, comedy editor, of course they're going to open that message. Because it's the right subject line that provides the exact value that solves their exact problem at that moment. Because they are the gatekeeper, you are the guide, and it's their story, not yours. So for anybody that's thinking, well, why didn't it say, this upcoming film looks very inspirational, or your career journey has inspired me? Because it's not about you, it's about them. And right now, they need a comedy editor. So that's the first thing that I want to point out. So it's very much a value-driven subject line in the context of this is a gatekeeper who's losing sleep looking for their comedy editor. So now let's go into the message. You break all my rules, right? There's not this big giant value paragraph. You're not sharing, here's where I am now, here's where I'm going next, here's what's stopping me, and I want to ask you a question or two. Why do you think this message got the results it got so quickly?
Well, it occurred to me before I sent it. I read it back, and I was like, I knew I wanted to keep it quick and simple. And I was just, and also just because I'm, it's like just one of those, you know, like I just don't want to put that much time and effort into this thing because what's the point?
Let's just say it. What's the point? Sure. It's not going to lead anywhere. This is a waste of time. So why bother? Right.
So after I read it, I did realize it wasn't entirely personal, but it also kind of was. It was personal enough. And it did follow the VSA formula to a certain degree at the end of it, because there is value in that first paragraph. It's only two sentences, but congratulations to you on moving into pre-production. There's some value right there, or like reverse value, at least, as we're saying, or of the way that we provide good words or show that we're paying attention to your particular situation. Mm-hmm. So it felt to me just by saying that. And I mentioned the director in the third paragraph that this is somewhat personal. It's not overly by any stretch, but he could have made the presumption that I wrote this specifically to him, and I did.
Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, I could, if we were going to go into this message, I do have a few thoughts about if somebody were to copy paste this and say, well, it worked for Mitch, so it's got to work for me. I probably have a few thoughts on how you could improve it even further. But what's the point? Because you got a response and you got a job.
So, well, because I need, I'm planning on sending out more now too.
Right. So
need and, to be better.
Which is exactly why I brought that up, because there is a purpose in doing this. Because for so many, they'd say, why do I need to worry about this email message? Because it got me a job. So I don't need to improve anything. There's always room for improvement. Sure. So I'm very aware of the fact that this, as it is, got you the job. But I don't, if you were to repeat this formula 100 times with improvements, I think you can increase your success rate.
Sure.
Right. So I guess what I do want to ask is, if specifically for this hot seat, you didn't actually want to workshop this outreach message.
No.
So what I would actually say is, let's talk about bigger picture strategy for the next few minutes that we have. Mm-hmm. And then I actually want to spend, if not an entire session, a good part of a session actually talking about this message and breaking down something that already worked, so we can repeat it over and over with some improvements.
Happy
to let's zoom out away from the actual message for a second, and let's talk about strategy.
Okay.
So it sounds like right now, you know that you at least have a 6-month gap, maybe even more.
Yes. Actually, yeah. He actually mentioned start of next year, but they're shooting starts in November. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to impress on him the importance of starting the editor when the shoot begins. Mm-hmm. So it's all still months away. So I didn't get into that in the call, but that did cross my mind.
Gotcha.
It's way past my September deadline. So.
Yeah, of course. So one quick question that I have for you, are they funded? Because it seems odd that it's over 6 months before and they're in pre-production and they don't shoot until November. So do you have a high level of confidence that this is for sure going forward?
It sure sounded like it. They've got a $3 million budget. They haven't signed a union contract yet, but he said he is actually a union member, and he's like, I'm doing everything as like by union standards as he goes forward here. So my strong suggestion with a budget like that is that it will be a union show. It sounded like it was in place. They've got a few actors signed up, but it sounds like it's like still like definitely like right at the ground floor.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Okay. So having said that, the only reason I bring that up is I'm trying to get a realistic sense of the timeline. Mm-hmm. And if he said, we start shooting in November and we would need you on early next year, what I don't want to do is come up with a plan that says, I just need to make it until October 31st. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that you're good to go at least through the end of the year. Because as we know, it has nothing to do with this producer or this project. Everything takes longer than everybody says it's going to always, right?
And nothing stays the same.
Exactly. Nothing stays the same, especially in this market. So let's just assume that you need to strategize through the end of the year. And best case scenario, you're overprepared and you're like, oh crap, I've got an overlap because I have this amazing feature starting at the same time. That's a good problem to create. So we're just going to assume we need to strategize for the rest of the year. So having said that, what's your strategy thus far?
Well, reevaluating this, so like over the weekend and yesterday, it seems like I need to be doing both, looking for the assistant work and going after these independent, lower budget, but union pictures as an editor. So warm outreach with my network, which is pretty comprehensive for assistant jobs, and cold outreach with the help of production listings to find editor works.
All right. So let's assume for the moment that we're definitely going to have this project. It's definitely going to be union. Definitely starting at the beginning of the year, and you're going to be the lead editor, and it's going to be a comedy. So if we know that that's all going to happen, we're going to presume right now that it is. What's the number one goal you're trying to accomplish between now and the end of the year, knowing that that's waiting for you on a silver platter on January 2nd?
Getting my hours so I can.
So that's the number one goal. Where's the highest likelihood of getting your hours?
It's hard to say. I got it. Well, I'll say this. I've been for months trying to, find an assistant job to no avail. And this I did in 2 hours, was able to line this up and the time frame didn't work, but it seems like it's just like hard to believe, but is it possible that I have a better chance of landing something by doing the ladder approach like I did last week.
So let's look at it through the lens of your goal.
The other part of that I could add to that too is that the first part of it too kind of almost takes care of itself right now. You know, the people who know that I'm out, that I'm looking, that are they've got their radar on for me. So it's not like I have to keep going back to them and saying, hey, it's just a reminder. That's like, mm-hmm. That's the worst strategy. So there's that part is actually kind of just in place to a certain degree. So let that take care of itself and then get into this other stuff.
Agreed. So if we look at this specifically through the lens of your goal right now, not the big picture vision of I want to be a successful comedy feature editor. If it's through the lens of I need my hours so I can maintain my health insurance, the opportunity you just talked about didn't achieve that goal because this doesn't start until end of the year or early next year.
Yes.
Right. So if we're looking through the lens of that goal specifically, you haven't achieved that goal yet. And if we're going to play the probability game, this is all about the numbers. It's very clear that the probability of you getting an opportunity in general, let's take the market out of this conversation for a second, because obviously the market's a huge driver of all of this. But just to simplify it, by far the highest probability of you getting your hours is where you're overqualified and ridiculously experienced. And where you are both overqualified and ridiculously experienced, where on one piece of paper with a few credits, they're like, oh my God, Mitch fell into our laps. How did this happen? Hire him. I don't even need to meet him. Hire him before he's unavailable, right? So if we take the market circumstances out of it, what exactly does that opportunity look like?
I would say probably assistant editor job on a studio comedy.
On a studio comedy or even an assistant editing job, I would say in a network TV series as well.
That's exactly what I was about to say, because my last year I worked on a network series as an assistant editor. So I've got fresh contacts with those people as well.
Yeah. So I think in either circumstance, either it's an assistant editor on a comedy feature or it's an assistant editor on a high profile network dramedy, comedy, whatever it might be, that's where you make the most sense. And I say network very specifically because from the gatekeeper's perspective, working a network versus working in streaming versus working in premium pedigree streaming, that for some reason they assume that matters even for the assistant editor job. Don't even get me started. Now, it does matter if we're talking about 1,000 visual effects per episode versus 12. Right, then the role of the assistant editor matters. But in general, for you, it would be assistant editor on either a comedy feature or it would be assistant editor on a network drama or comedy.
Sure.
That's where you fall into their laps. They look at one piece of paper and they say, hire him before he's unavailable. Right. So I'm not saying that because that's the number one strategy you need to focus on as far as networking. Mm-hmm. I want to understand the priority. So that's where the highest probability is in a regular market. If we were to look at there being independent comedy features as an editor versus studio comedy features or studio network dramas as an assistant editor, is there a big difference in the availability of both in this market?
I honestly don't know. I really don't.
I don't know the answer to that either. And I think that it begets further research. My intuition is that there's not that much of a difference. I don't think that there's this huge proliferation of $3 to $5 to $10 million independent comedy features that are going to be union. I think you probably found a diamond in the rough.
Wow.
By doing your research. I don't know that for certain. I'm not backing this up with any research or any insider data that I have that you don't. But my intuition is that it's probably a pretty level playing field, that there's just very little of just about everything right now.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, it would make the most sense if we want to play the math and we want to really play towards the probabilities, your best chance of getting your hours is still going to be assistant editor on a comedy feature or assistant editor on a network drama. So having said that, do you feel you have completely tapped out your existing market in both of those areas?
Not even close. I mean, the editing, looking for the independent comedy stuff is the tip of the iceberg or just tapping in. I mean, it's like, this is my weak spot for sure. Like I always know what I need to do. It's just the execution. And so, yeah, I can't say, I mean, it's like, who knows? I could have saved months of time if I had just, had that that moment of, you know, just like, what have you got to lose? And just kind of like, it was like a, that's like poker philosophy. I've like found, I haven't played poker in many years, but I always found like when you win in poker is when you're just ready to push them all in. It's just like, just, I'm just putting them all in and then I can go home. And that's when it happens. Mm-hmm. When you're just like enough is enough. To say that, I mean, I've explored the assistant avenue, you know, way more comprehensively than I have the editor. I mean, it's like literally the one email that I sent out resulted in this. So fair to say, I've got a lot more work to do on that end.
Yeah, that's why I brought that up. And I'm glad that you brought up poker, because there's one additional thing that I want to add. And for those that aren't aware, I highly recommend, if you're interested in understanding how to play the probabilities, I talked to one of the former world champions of poker, literal world champion of poker. Her name is Annie Duke. And she talks about the psychology of quitting and, you know, how to really prioritize what to go after, what to stick with, and what to quit. But one of the key tenets of those that are world poker champions is that professional pokers versus amateurs play most of their hands. Mm-hmm. Professionals fold on almost every single hand, and those that stay in the game the longest are usually the ones that win, right? Mm-hmm. So I want you to keep that in mind, is that even though for the last year, like you said, you hit your 1 year anniversary, right? You haven't just gone in on everything and getting failure after failure after failure after failure after failure. Sometimes that can be demoralizing, right? Yeah. You took a little bit of a breather. Now you send a message, boom, dream opportunity. But now you're going to have to start playing a lot more hands. And I want to make sure that you're playing the good hands, not the bad hands.
Yeah. Well, that's where I'm strong.
If you're going to play the probabilities right now, if the goal is you need your hours, mm-hmm. we need to make sure that when you go to bed every night, you're thinking, if I don't have an assistant editor job right now on either a comedy feature or on a network drama, it's because there are no opportunities, because I have completely exhausted that market. Mm-hmm. So I want you, like you had just said, when it comes to you editing a union studio comedy feature, it's a buyer's market right now. The studios are going to be able to get people they could never get otherwise. They're going to be like, Mitch, why would we hire you when we can get the best of the best because they're unemployed, right? You need to play that to your advantage, which is jobs that usually you probably wouldn't consider, you fall into their lap. Those are the hands that I think you want to play right now.
Sure.
And by the way, there's not a lot of them out there.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I want you to feel confident that, listen, I've now tapped out this market. Both my existing warm network, they're all aware that I'm not only available, but I'm excited to take on these opportunities where I'm slightly overqualified. But I'm also making new connections in those realms. So if I'm not working right now, it's because there's no work. I'm confident of that because I've done the work. And right now, I don't get the sense that you have that level of confidence.
Probably not. Not 100%.
So if right now the goal is you need your hours, you need to start either warming up existing relationships or creating new ones for opportunities where you were overqualified and on a single sheet of paper, they say, I can't believe Mitch fell into our laps. Okay. I think that's where you need to focus your attention right now.
Okay. And like looking for more indies and all of that stuff, just put it on the side for the moment.
No. I think that if you're looking for indie comedies, I think that's also an area where you can fall into their laps. The problem with the indie comedies is the probability is extremely low. It's going to be union and you're getting your hours.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm just playing the math. And if right now the goal is I need my union hours, indie comedy features, I think you got really, this is an area where I think you did get lucky. That you found a $3 million indie comedy feature that wants to go union. That's very rare.
Mm-hmm.
I think you found the right person at the right time. I think the if we're just playing the math, the probability is not in your favor that you're going to find other indie comedies with lower budgets that are also union. So I'm not saying don't go after them. They just don't mm-hmm. solve your problem right now.
Sure. Yeah, that's certainly true. Well, that was, I mean, when I did go after this one was the actors that they have listed on the page right now led me to believe, I mean, they were like, they're big enough that it was like, that, you know, they're all named SAG actors that you would recognize. So,
right.
So that was part of the motivation to send me to send the email to this one. And it's like, definitely still like snipering the whole thing that like, and that's certainly where I'm good right now too. It's like where I've learned that, you know, I'm not just spray painting every title that I'm seeing. I'm picking them and I'm looking at the, and I have done this the last few months too. And it's like, it's kind of funny that most of the time I just shoot them down. It's just like up out of the country or like mm-hmm. something. There's always something about it that's just like, you're not the right candidate. But this one checked off everything. So it was like, all right, I'm doing it.
And by the way, what you just said is the absolute key. And then I'm going to transition to the next ones because we're running way over, but that's my fault, not yours. You didn't say, oh, I don't want this, or I'm not the right candidate. I'm not the right candidate for them. Mm-hmm. That's the key here. It's not about, oh, well, this would be so great for me. You need to be amazing for them, right? So to use this example, I've talked about this a lot in the branding class, and I'll keep it very, very brief. But if I'd watched season one of Cobra Kai, and I said, oh my God, this would be my dream job and this would be amazing, and I couldn't cut my way out of a paper bag, I'm not doing them any favors.
Sure.
But I knew that I was valuable to them just as they were valuable to me. And I've spent the last 6 years proving that to them over and over and over. It was about, I really truly believe I am the best candidate for them. Mm-hmm. Given all the criteria, I think that I can make their show better and I can make the process better and I can really bring something to the table. So you were saying you're checking all this criteria off. I'm not the best candidate, but it wasn't, they're not good for me, or it's not what I want. It's I'm not good for them. Mm-hmm. That is the key. So you nailed it. And that's how you got lucky.
There you go. And I've got the thing that I do have going for me too. I mean, I've got confidence in myself. I've got confidence in my resume and my website, and I've seen mm-hmm. it work before this, at least once before. So I did have the proof too. And I knew that in the right situation that I can make it work. I can hook someone and reel them in. And yep. it worked.
Same. So you now have the confidence that you can be the solution to somebody else's problems. The one component you need to focus on right now is finding more people that have the problems that you can solve. That's the one thing you're missing, is a deeper list of all the people you can connect with to solve their problems. That's where I'd focus your attention next.
Okay. So yep, keep working on that warm network and do a little cold at the same time.
Yes, exactly. And I'm looking forward to probably doing another hot seat soon, because I know you'll do a bunch of them in a row, then you'll disappear and then you'll come back again. So I have a feeling I'm going to see your name on the calendar again soon.
I'll bring the email back so we can just workshop the
email. Yeah, that sounds great. Awesome. Cool. Well, well done. Congratulations, especially in this market.
You're a big part of it. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you being here as well. You did all the work. I just sit here and I just mumble incessantly, waiting for my coffee to kick in the mornings. And for some reason, everybody still shows up and listens to me ramble. I don't know why to this day, but I appreciate all of you doing it. So,
yes. And just for everybody out there, just keep your head up and just keep going for it.
Thank you so much for investing both your time and energy listening to today's show. If you were inspired by this conversation, don't forget to subscribe in your podcast app of choice, and most importantly, leave a review, because that helps move the show to the top of iTunes and get our message out there to those who need it the most. Simply visit optimizeyourself.me/subscribe to never miss another episode. Lastly, stay safe, healthy, sane, and most importantly, be well.